for Pastor Pals. We don't have any children's church today, but we'll still have the Pastor Pals. And we're all right. Yeah, here they come. What a great group. Are y'all ready to head back to school? You can tell they're excited. There you go, helping each other out. You know, there's something that I've got in my pocket right here. And it's something some of these men, I imagine if we everybody held one up, there'd be 100 of them this morning. And you know what that is? Look at this. What is that?
A knife.
A knife. In country, you know, and I remember used to when I was going to school, every boy had one of these going to school. Now it's dangerous. So the status has changed. They don't allow these in school anymore. But you know what this is? This is a tool. It's very sharp. You don't play with a knife, do you? All right, here you go. There you go. Hold that for me, Percy. I want to open it up right here. All right, now that right there is the blade of a knife. Now, I want to go ahead and put a disclaimer for all the parents and grandparents. This is a pocket knife. Do not play with knives, okay? Let your parents help you. Scissors are the same way, but you know what? This is, all this is you have this in your pocket in case you need to cut a string or a piece of paper. It's a great tool to have. It's neat just to take that out, fold it up. Put it in my pocket. Oh, then I need it. Okay. Hey, I've got this pocket knife. Guess what I've got in this pocket? I've got something else. I've got keys in that pocket. What do keys do?
They unlock the door and they start.
That's it. I've got a key to that door. I've got a key to every door in the church. Very handy tools. Opens doors. And you know why I carry it in my pocket? I carry it in my pocket in case I need it. And guess what? The Word of God. I can't fit. I don't have a pocket for this. Wait a second. It won't fit. Hey, hold that a second. I can't put it in the pocket. But what if I need it? What am I going to do?
I could get a
smaller one. But you know what's even better? I could put God's Word in my heart. And we have Sunday school teachers, Wednesday night Awana program, in case I need it. Just like whether it be a pocket knife, or so handy, or a set of keys. Some people carry other things in their pocket in case they need it. And so carry the Word of God inside your heart. Why? In case you need it. And that is really cool. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Dear Jesus, I thank you so very much that you've blessed us with different tools that we use to accomplish work. And we pray that we would put your word in our hearts so that we could accomplish things for you. I thank you for these young people. Dear Lord, watch over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all head back to your parents or grandparents or whoever you came with. Okay.
I believe Ethan has our special this morning.
It will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When all I will do is forever worship you, I can only imagine.
Very appropriate song for the title of the message this morning, and taking a glimpse at heaven and what heaven is going to be like. Matter of fact, everything we do here at church, I mean, we've got so many different classes and teachers and programs, everything that about my job, been preaching the gospel for a long time, and some of you have been teaching longer than I've been alive. But everything, every taught word, every word in this book from Genesis to the maps is getting you ready for heaven. Getting you ready, you and your family ready for heaven. And I want to ask you, just like I asked the gentleman in the hospital yesterday, are you right with the Lord? Where are you going when you die? Are you going to heaven? It's a sure fact I shared the other day. There is a 100% mortality rate in this room. 100%. Unless Jesus comes again, all of us are going to pass from this life. 100% of us. There's no exceptions to that rule. No exceptions to that statistic. Many people buy life insurance. Life insurance does not benefit the one passing away. It benefits those left behind.
in our men's meeting. And again, easy way to remember that, first Sunday of every month. Come to it. We have coffee. Every quarter we have biscuits. And that's the one quarterly men's prayer breakfast. Brother Bobby so aptly put it. He said, if we were to meet early and we run out of time, it'd be good to spend it in prayer. And that's always good to have prayer. We were discussing in the men's meeting about budgeting and whatnot. Did you know that our church is, whether or not we have it stipulated, we budget $10,000 a year just for insurance. Did you realize that? $10,000 a year for insurance. And that sounds like a lot of money, doesn't it? But you spread it out, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. And you know what insurance is? You know, insurance is, to me, the biggest waste of money. And my insurance agent's sitting right here, so I can talk about her. I'm not talking about her. It's the principle of it. Until you need it. You ever thought about that? It is. I mean, you're just giving them money. Just giving them money. Here, take $500. Take $100. Take all that money, you know, and insurance. But it's when you need it. And you're purchasing insurance for, and you're hoping that the guarantor of that company will come through whenever it's needed. And folks, we have a life insurance policy that has been purchased for us by our Savior Jesus Christ. And it's life, it's eternal life insurance. And He's paid the premium. But folks, it's of no value until you need it. And it's there. A lot of people won't take the Lord up on His policy. His policy is written in this book right here. And it's a free life insurance policy, a heavenly policy. It gives you eternal benefits. It gives you, get this, it's a life insurance policy with room and board. With room and board. I mean, it's got it all built in. It talks about later on we get new heaven and new earth. We'll have trees bearing fruit. I don't know, but I'm sure that we'll be pulling filleted catfish out of the river of life. I don't know about that one, but I can hope. But it's just going to be amazing. And as Ethan sang the song, I can only imagine what heaven is going to be like. Without turning over there, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them who love Him. And I think about that verse. The context of that verse is really talking about our life right now. But I think it applies aptly to heaven as well. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14. As we begin there, it's in your text, it says Luke 16, and I noticed in the bulletin, I have both mine here, it should be John 14. I might not have changed that on my outline I handed to Denise. Actually, I left it on her computer. So that would be Brother Michael's fault. It's John 14 where we're beginning. Luke 16, of course, 19 through 31 is a great story about heaven and hell. But it has a good and a happy, it's kind of bittersweet. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither or where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, Thomas, and most men, and I'll say this to the benefit of the ladies this morning, men don't, well, let me rephrase this. Most men don't get hints. You know, some wives are good at dropping hints, and you may have your husband trained. But, you know, most men, we like it spelled out. You'd like what, when, where, okay? How many tools do I need? And what kind of nails or screws are required? And Thomas just wasn't getting it. Jesus was talking, and he says, where are you going, and what are you talking about? Because he says in our text in verse 5, Lord, we cannot know whither or where you're going, or how can we know the way? What are you talking about? Of course, the very famous verse is in the next verse, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then he says, if you move on down, there's some great, great stuff in that chapter. But just basically, let's talk about heaven. There's a lot of misconceptions about heaven, and I want to deal with them. I'm still dealing with the subject of things we believe. Now, I've dealt with hell. Hell is matter of fact, and it didn't have anything to do with my preaching. I was preaching hell and everybody in here. Remember last year? 3 days ago. And I was preaching on hell and everybody was fanning. I don't know who it was. They aptly did it. They bumped the thermostat up or whatever. It might have been cold. And then everybody started fanning. I was preaching on hell. But folks, heaven is just as bad as you can imagine hell. And these are both places. A lot of people, they say, matter of fact, I've got a video, and there's a copy of it in our library, in the Way of the Master videos, and there was an interview. They was just in this park, and they was interviewing this lady, and it was nighttime, and they said, do you believe in heaven or hell? And she says, I don't believe that. I believe when you die, you just go back to the dirt. No such thing as heaven or hell. And then he rephrased the question, but if there was a place, heaven or hell, where would you go when you die? And she said, oh, heaven, of course. Yeah. Well, I don't believe in it, but everybody likes to believe in heaven. You know, if there's a place where good people go when they die, I want to believe in heaven. And Jesus is talking about that here. First of all, let's clarify that in the Bible, there's three different places that are described as heaven. The heaven in the, sometimes it talks about the heavens, talking about the air and the atmosphere. And then sometimes it's talking about the heavens, and it's talking about the solar system and all the stars up in the heavens. And then it says we talk about where God dwells. And where are our loved ones right now? People want to know that. It was very difficult. The other week, whenever I performed the funeral service of Alex McKinney, just born Miss Deanne's little one, and of course had already passed away. And there's been many moms before her that have experienced things like that. And people want to know, whether it be a newborn child or their husband that they've been married to for 50 or 60 years, where is my loved one? You know, I want to talk about that. I want to put your mind at ease. I still have 3 hours to preach. Brother Norman said that clock didn't work. He said I could look at his watch if I needed to. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Where are our loved ones right now? Many of you have loved ones that have already passed away. The Bible tells you and talks about them. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Now what I'm going to put my finger here, because I'm going to hit them quick. Go ahead, if you have your bulletin, you know to go to Acts 7. So I've got my finger on 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to put the other one on Acts 7. It helps me. I say this all the time. I hope it helps you. Just kind of get to the, we'll be on the same page literally. So let's read the 2 Corinthians 5 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 6. And he's talking about the assurance that this church ought to have. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. And so a lot of times I have preached a lot of funeral services since I've been here at Promised Land. And they'll put the casket right here. And there'll be a body inside the casket. And, we know that they're not there anymore. We know that that's just the shell. We think about sometimes some people, and living across from the cemetery, I see people all the time coming to put, whether it be flowers, and that's, you know what I think? I think that God wired us that away. It's because, you know what, even though that they may not be the person, their body's there. Well, why, and people have asked me this question before, preacher, why do we visit if they're not there, why do we visit a graveside? You know why? Because it's a connection. That's why. They may not be there, but it's a connection. It connects. You know that's where their body lies. And that's just the connection there. But if you really think about it, you say, well, they're there and I want to come visit them, but knowing that that's just the connecting point. They're not there. They're either in heaven or hell. I've got a relative. And because probably it's recording, I won't say who, but they're not in heaven. They've died. They're not in, everybody wants to, when they die, oh man, they're going to heaven. You hardly ever hear a preacher say, well, they just went to hell. But it'd be the truth in a lot of cases. But the thing is, we just want to push them up there and make them, and heaven's great, and it's an awesome place. And if we really think it's great, number one, to tell people about Jesus, if we're really preparing people for heaven, shouldn't we warn them about hell? In heaven, and we think hell is hot and heaven's sweet. And shouldn't we be the ones describing it that way? In 2 Corinthians 5, it goes on to say, we walk by faith and not by sight. So as long as you're in your body, and when I say you, I'm talking about the life force inside of you, the will, the emotions. The Greek part is psyche, is where we get our word psychology from, the life force inside of you. That's also the word for soul. In Hebrew, it's pronounced nephesh. It's your life force or your soul inside of you right now. The one that's causing your body to breathe, your heart to beat. And it says in verse 8, for we are confident, I say, willing to be rather absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. One of these days that's going to happen. If you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Doesn't mention anything about a waiting place or a waiting room, does it? Nowhere in the Bible, Genesis to the maps, is there a waiting place or a waiting room? If you back up to Acts 7, you see someone. Now, this is really, how many of you, you've seen on the news these out-of-body experiences, and they saw a great light, man, it was drawing me. I saw my loved ones, and I'm not to doubt, because I've never had one, so I'm just going to say this. You wonder what, I'm not going to put it out of the realm of possibility that people don't get a, now what I think is they get a glimpse of the passageway, or they may just get a glimpse of their own mind, what they think. Because there have been people that have died, excluding Jesus, talking about normal sinners, and have come back from the grave. You know, the Bible's full of that. But Stephen is dying here. He's pulling his last breath, so to speak. They're killing him. In Acts 7:54, and they heard these things, they started hitting Stephen, they start biting on Stephen. Verse 55, he looks up into heaven and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. So where are our loved ones? If you quickly turn back to Luke, now you can go to Luke 16:22. Our loved ones are, the Bible says it plainly, if your loved one knows Jesus Christ, they're in heaven right now. Now, there was an Old Testament heaven, I believe, just Michael Reese's opinion. And if somebody looks at it differently, that's fine, because everybody's in heaven now. Talking about where the Lord is. Luke 16 and also Luke 23. Jesus had a lot to say in just these simple things. In Luke 16:22, it says the beggar Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He went to be where Abraham was. Abraham knew the Lord. Where was Abraham? He was, I think, with the Lord, so to speak. And it says he went in his bosom. What that means is just leaning on him. I mean, right there next to him. Hey, got your arm around him. Good to see you. Notice what this thief is saying to Jesus in Luke 23, verse 43. The thief's about to die. He's just a couple hours away from death. What does he say in Luke 23, 43? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Basically, this is, a lot of people point this out and they say, well, you know, was that a separate heaven before Jesus finished the work of redemption and now everybody's with the Lord that died? Well, let me give you the 120-second summary. And what time you got, Brother Norman? Man, I'm doing good. I'll just stand here and preach a second. And since I've come down here, picking on him, my brother. The word, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And basically that word paradise means a place of perfection and a place of comfort. What did they say about the rich man, the beggar Lazarus? Now he is comforted, he told the rich man, but now you're tormented. So what was paradise and the beggar Lazarus was in a place of comfort. The rich man is, you're gonna die. He just accepted Jesus as his Savior. Lord, would you please help me? I want to go into your kingdom. And he said, today, I mean, that's a surety. If Jesus says you're going to paradise, you're going to paradise. But guess what it means? It's just a place of comfort and rest. Now, but what did the 2 Corinthians scripture tell you? I mean, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you know Jesus, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What did Stephen see post-resurrection and post-Jesus? What did as he was dying, I'm putting it down here where I hope you can understand it and I can understand it. Stephen, the deacon, and by the way, he's basically a deacon. So good deacons go to heaven. I'm just kidding. And so he's laying down his life for the Lord. And he looks up into heaven. What does he see? Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. If you compare Scripture with Scripture, laying out a case scenario, where are our loved ones today? They're with the Lord. If they know Jesus as Savior. There's a whole nother sermon to preach about. I can give it to you in 30 seconds. A lot of people have asked this question, especially since I just preached the funeral. What about babies? And what about mentally handicapped people? People that it's beyond their capability to make any choices. I believe they're also with the Lord. It's in some commentaries, it's called prevenient grace. And what that is just means that it's grace that God gives knowing that they're incapable of rejecting Jesus. Let me go ahead and tell you, a lot of people say this, and I can explain it real quick. Man, that fella's in hell. He's in hell paying for his crimes. He's in hell right now, because I know him. That was a mean, dirty, rotten scoundrel. Reminds me of that sorry fella that paid the preacher. He said, I'm going to give you $5,000 if you'll call my brother a saint. He got up and preached his funeral, and he said, that fella laying in that casket, sorriest, no good, rotten person I've ever known in my life. But compared to his brother right there, he's a saint. The preacher did it. People in hell, you cannot pay for your crimes against God. You know why people are in hell? There's only one reason. If there's only one, listen to me very closely. If there's only one reason a person goes to heaven, there's only one reason a person goes to hell. And that's for rejecting Jesus Christ. You say, I've never rejected Jesus. If you've never accepted Him, you have. It'd be kind of like me laying a gift up here. My dad always told me, especially growing up on a farm, and he had a bunch of parts for a hay rake. A fellow said, they're yours, Jim. Just come by and get them. He said, 3 years later, he said, oh, yeah, that fella gave me some parts for a hay rake, and I need them now. And he went to get those parts. He said, well, they're not there anymore. When you never came and got them, I assumed you didn't want them. They ended up with somebody else's rake. Salvation is that a way. Until you go and claim it, it's unclaimed. And you have essentially rejected it. Our loved ones, where are they? Well, I've got a few minutes left, and I want to just skip down. By the way, the heaven where everybody is now is going to be done away with. The heaven are going to be burned up. I'm talking everything. New earth, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Great, great story. In Revelation 21, I think I can do it justice in just a minute. Go ahead and go to Revelation 21, and let's look. By the way, I've heard some people say, and we'll get to it in just a second, well, I don't want to go to heaven because all we'll be doing is laying around playing harps and singing. Sounds boring to me. I'd rather go to hell with my friends and we'll party and have a good time there. A lot of people don't realize that hell, if you look at Scripture, is portrayed as solitary confinement and everlasting fire. And there may be a lot of people there. Matter of fact, the Bible says there will be more people in hell than there will be in heaven. Did you know that? That sounds sad, and it is. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. Everything's done away with. And then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle or dwelling place of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Which means this, the new heaven and new earth will be centered around God, will be about God. Everything will be lifting Him up. I've often wondered, and I felt bad about it, as a young preacher going to seminary, I asked Brother Don McCormick, who's preached here before, I said, "Brother Don, I'm not real excited about going to heaven." And I was just being as serious as a 20-year-old preacher could be. And I said, I'm not really excited about Jesus coming back again. And he said, as somebody who was in his 60s at that time, now we're both 20-something years older, and he's in his 80s now, and he said, "Michael, quit kicking yourself. You're 20 years old. God wired you to want to live. But have you ever noticed the older you get, the more you realize this world is not your home? While you're young, don't kick yourself if you're not excited about going to heaven. God wired you to want to live. I wanted to get married. I got married 2 years later at 22 years old. God blessed me with a wonderful family. But the older I get, and by the way, the Bible says marriage is for this life. When I get to heaven, Karen won't be my wife anymore. Will I know that I was married to her? I believe I will know that I was married to her. But you see, I've only seen you and her through these eyes. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have new eyes. And the same desires, the desires won't be the same anymore. Your desires will be changed. She will be my sister in Christ, so to speak." It's amazing when you get to thinking about it. The way you feel here will not be the way you feel there. It'll be better. And it right now, if you say it worries you or scares you, you're not alone and it's normal. Allie Jo says, "Dad, I'll fly with you to Belize if you won't let me sit next to the window and you'll hold my hand." I said, "It's a deal, sweetheart." Why is she nervous about flying? She's never flown before. She knows that her daddy has. Don't worry. When you draw your last breath, if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know Jesus, you need to be worried. But if you know Jesus as your Savior, when you draw your last breath, God will give you the strength and the grace you need. It will not be a troubling experience. Now, does getting sick, is it bothersome? Yeah. Cancer, is it bothersome? Yeah. Did you know I've watched people draw their last breath? I've seen the body fight to live, yet they were willing to go. Why? God designed our body to want to live. It's natural. But they were willing. And they knew what lay ahead of them. God gave them peace. I have seen peaceful, graceful departures. And it's a sight to behold. Even while the body continued to fight to live. Quickly there, just one more minute. What will we do there? I won't turn to those scriptures, but you know what the Bible does say? The Bible says that, now I love to sing. My wife often talks about, she says, I love to teach, but I wish I could sing like so many people in our church are blessed with the talent of singing. Imagine this, when you get to heaven, your voice will be perfect. And how many of you have been so excited about good news and you wanted to share it? How many of you have been, "I've had a great day"? I mean a great day, but about 12 hours is a great day is all I can handle. Because you know what? I get tired. Guess what? You'll never get tired in heaven.
and your body will never quit. Your voice will never run out. It will sing perfectly and harmoniously. I think this, and there's scriptures in there. There's just a few I gave you. I just gave you a handful. Scriptures bear out that you'll continue to learn. I don't think you'll be equal with God when you get there. So I think you'll be learning forever. And if you think God is infinite, I think He's also infinitely creative. And He'll be creative enough to keep you occupied. You will not grow bored. You will not grow bored in heaven. Matter of fact, He is so exciting. The older you get, the more you will look forward to going there. Instead of Brother Norman coming to lead a song, he probably has a great song picked out. I'm just going to ask our instrumentalist to come. Just our instrumentalist. And right now, I don't know what's on your heart. Are you going to heaven when you die? Only two places. Are you living for the Lord? I'm going to have a word of prayer. We're all going to stand. And if you need to come pray at the altar, you come pray at the altar. There may be somebody you know that's not headed to heaven. Or you're worried about. Or you're concerned about. Let's start off 2011 at the right place. And on our knees before an almighty God in prayer. Dear Lord, I just ask, please, that You would bless our church this coming year. And as heaven is awesome as it is, dear Lord, that You would get our church excited about sharing the good news, about reaching out into our community. Dear Lord, I am thrilled with everybody that's here this morning. You have blessed us with some awesome, awesome church members, some awesome guests this morning. Dear Lord, please bless them, bless their hearts, bless their lives, bless their families. Father, help us to be excited about heaven and wanting to tell others about what You have done. In Jesus' name, amen. As we all stand, would You come?